Well, it's good to be with you, even though I can't be with you in person. Thank you to those who are helping me with Mass today. It's good to have some other people here, not just myself. I do miss all of you at Mass. It's not the same. Obviously, it's still the sacrifice of the Mass, still a good thing that we offer the Mass, and God's grace is available to us. But I do miss being with you. Today's readings explore this theme of the resurrection. It's something that we hear in all the readings. Ezekiel reflects on the raising up of those who have died and calling them forth from the tomb. St. Paul discusses how the Spirit gives us life, how the Holy Spirit gives us life in body and soul. Otherwise, we're weighed down by our sins. Today's gospel continues this resurrection theme. It's interesting to note that Jesus does not immediately go to help Lazarus. He waits. Why did he wait? He waits for a time. I put myself in the place of Mary and Martha and even Lazarus, and I wonder what it was like for them. If they would have known that Jesus was like, okay, I'm just going to wait here. When they're like, we're in need. We're dying here. This is not a good thing. I could imagine that there would have been a little bit of frustration with that. What are our own thoughts when we seem to be facing some dire situation? And we know that God or even another person could help us, but they decide not to at that time. Might it not produce within us an anger or a frustration? Why are you delaying? Why are you waiting? Don't you see that we need you here? We need your help now? Don't you see this? Think about how a teacher or a parent might allow a pupil or a child to struggle through some difficulty, some challenge, some lesson or experience. Very often the temptation is to step in, right, to preserve them from experiencing that difficulty. You've heard the term helicopter parent. Well, that can be something that we're all tempted to do at times, to protect somebody from experiencing that. I wonder if God, he's not a helicopter parent, I guess. He allows us to go through difficulties. He allows us to be stretched beyond what we think is possible. The reality is, often, if we don't allow someone to experience a struggle or a challenge of a given situation, they will not learn from that situation. They won't receive the fruit of that struggle. If we never face challenges in our lives, we don't mature in our understanding of things. We don't grow. In engineering, there's a test or a term that you can test materials or components to failure. So you see how much stress can they take, how much work can they take? How many times can you use it before it breaks down? And you're really trying to understand what is it capable of. In our lives, we too might be surprised what we can go through and still go forward. How we can undergo many challenges and many difficulties. We might be unaware of what we can actually cope with if we're never put in those situations. If we're never placed in that place where we need to be tested beyond what we think we can handle. Right now, the local church, and indeed the many parts of the world, the church has suspended the public celebration of the Mass. For those of you who are deeply connected to the Eucharist, which I imagine is most of those who are practicing their faith regularly, this is very difficult, right? Very hard for us to be divided or separated from the Eucharist in that way. We might find ourselves saying, "Where are you, Lord? Where are you in this? Why are you asking this of us? I need you more right now than ever. And I feel abandoned." I've had some people even express that to me. I feel like the church has abandoned us in this time when we need the church. So I want to commend, first of all, that closeness that you have, that desire that you have to be at the Mass. That's a beautiful testament to your faith. Last Thursday at the Feast of St. Joseph, many people came to Mass for that final public Mass, and they had tears in their eyes as they were coming up to receive the Eucharist, knowing that it could be a long time before they get to do that again. To me, this speaks to the reality that there is great faith in the people of God. There's more than just it's more than just a ritual that we're doing here. There's a love and a true communion that people experience in the Eucharist. We extended the adoration hours, and people picked up those hours. They picked up those times. They wanted to be with the Lord. And that's, again, for me, another sign that people hunger for the Lord. They hunger for the Eucharist. These are beautiful signs to me of your genuine faith. So thank you for showing that to me. I need that too. I need that reaffirmation myself. I can understand if you find yourself saying, how can the church keep us from receiving the Eucharist? You know, it's a difficult decision. When we needed you most, you told us we weren't welcome. Maybe that's the feeling. Now, as we face this time of quarantine and social distancing and isolation, and quite possibly sickness and maybe even death for some of us, we might find ourselves feeling like we need God and that our access to the sacraments is restricted. It is. We may find ourselves saying like Martha, Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here, but you weren't. We might be asking that of our leaders. Why are you asking this of us? We may call into question their decisions. So I want to encourage you, this is indeed a test for us. We are being asked to have obedience, to cooperate with what is being asked of us. We are being given this opportunity to live in circumstances that are given to us, which we have, you know, really no control over. And maybe we're used to having control in our lives, or at least the illusion of it, and now that's being taken away. Anytime we're asked to do something or live in a certain way by a legitimate authority, that's not sinful, it's not wrong, but it's a genuine request, we ought to do what we can to submit to that. But the temptation is strong to say, I know better. As a priest, I get to be in charge of a lot of things. I don't feel like I always know better, but sometimes there is a feeling like, I don't like it that way, or I'd like it this other way. And sometimes you have to surrender that and say, okay, that I'm not in control here, or this, it's best that I'm not in control. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. Somebody else has the authority to do that. God is in control. He has allowed us to be in this situation we find ourselves in, and He's going to take care of us. Do I trust that? Do I have faith enough to trust that? Or do I lack trust and humility enough to submit to somebody else, something else, authority higher than myself? It's not always easy to do that. And I think this is a real opportunity for us to say, okay, here's a chance for me to show that I am obedient. Here's a chance that I can show I do have trust. Here's a chance for me that I can show that I do have faith. And in this moment of having that chance, what am I saying? What am I doing? Am I showing that, or am I just saying, actually, I don't really like that? So it's a challenge for us. Jesus is not unmoved by our plight. Consider how he wept upon seeing the sorrow of his friends. These were his friends. It says he loved them. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were his friends, and even they doubted his motives. They were questioning him and his ability to provide for them. But Jesus not only comforts them, but he raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, there were many people that Jesus didn't raise from the dead, right? Lots of people died even when he was here on earth. But this he did as a sign to reveal that he does have power to overcome death itself. I wonder for himself, as he was thinking about what he would be doing in a few weeks, if that gave him confidence. Yes, this is going to be okay. I too am going to be in the tomb for some days. If that was a comfort to him, I don't know. Sometimes when we go through an experience, it helps us to reflect back and say, okay, I can do this. I've been here before. Martha and Mary must have been overjoyed to receive Lazarus back from the dead. Much like we would be happy if one of our friends or relatives was sick with cancer or had gone through some horrific accident or something like that, and they recover. It's a great joy to us. However, as you might have guessed, Lazarus did die again, right? He was probably one of the only people that got to do it twice. I don't know if that's a privilege or not, but Jesus did this sign to testify to his power and his authority. I wonder how Martha and Mary would have experienced that second death of Lazarus if they were still alive when he died again. They had already seen Jesus raise their brother from the dead. If by chance they were still alive when he died again, what do you think would have been their response? How would they have gone through that again? It must have been different the second time. I imagine it must have been different. Even though Jesus didn't come like he did the first time, they must have had a sense that all would be well. So as we're in this time, coronavirus, no mass, all the things that are going on, what is God preparing us for? I don't know. I don't know what he's preparing us for. But it's obviously he's inviting us to grow, to be stretched, to be put in a place where we have to surrender. We're not used to that. We have a pretty comfortable life in many ways, most of us. And so to be put in this place of having to trust in God, having to surrender to the things that we hold dear, it really tests us, right? That's a good thing for us to go through sometimes. And we're being given this opportunity. Perhaps this time of living under the threat of the coronavirus is a time of testing for us. Perhaps we will have this time when we are taken, when a lot of things that we have taken for granted or a lot of things that we have control of are being taken away. Our normal lives are really different right now. And we can see how fragile life really is. We aren't in control, and even our access to the Eucharist has been taken away in many ways. So it's not absolute. Jesus is putting us in a place like he did for Martha and Mary and Lazarus, a place of testing, a place where we are given the chance to grow, a place where we are allowed to question or to doubt and even express our sadness. Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you were here, what? What's on our heart? Jesus is allowing us to go through this trial. How are we being invited to grow? I think Jesus is inviting us to take a step in trust and faith. He's asking us, how much do you really trust me? How much do you really follow me? When I take away some of the things that you rely upon, do you lean on me? Or do you lean on other things? It's a great time for us to verify our faith. That our faith is a reality, that we trust in Christ and not anything else. May God grant us an open heart to trust in him in these unusual times.